This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Paid leave is gone. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Thursday, October 28th. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Democrats have given up on their effort to include a paid leave program in their social spending and climate bill.
A large clinical trial finds that fluvoxamine, a widely available antidepressant, holds promise as a treatment for COVID.
Investigators say actor Alec Baldwin fired a live round on the set of the movie Rust, a shot that killed the cinematographer.
And the old men managing in the World Series.
Nobody ever would have imagined that Dusty Baker would be managing the Astros, of all teams. The Astros were the single most cutting-edge technology and analytics-based team in the major leagues. They were never going to hire sort of an old dinosaur like Dusty Baker, but we all know what happened to the Astros.
Jared Diamond at the Wall Street Journal on the oldest managerial matchup ever with 72-year-old Dusty Baker and 66-year-old Brian Snitker. Paid leave has been cut. Multiple reports say Democrats have quit their push to include a paid leave program in their social spending and climate bill. In addition, a tax on billionaires to fund the package appears to be losing traction. However, a potential 3% surtax on those earning $10 million or more is the newest idea with momentum. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki.
We're not going to support anything we don't think is legal, but I will tell you the president supports the billionaire tax. He looks forward to working with Congress and Chairman Wyden to make sure the highest income Americans pay their fair share.
The White House is desperate for Democrats to unite around the social safety net expansion bill, expected to cost around $1.75 trillion. That could also trigger passage of a bipartisan infrastructure package that's been held up by progressives in the House. President Biden is set to attend the Glasgow Climate Conference next week, making the White House eager to show progress on his agenda. Mr. Biden is expected to visit Capitol Hill this morning to address House Democrats before leaving for Europe. Actor Alec Baldwin fired a live round during a rehearsal of the film Rust, which killed the movie's cinematographer and wounded the director. Santa Fe County Sheriff Adam Mendoza said a bullet recovered from director Joel Souza's shoulder is believed to have been fired from a Colt revolver by Mr. Baldwin while rehearsing a scene from the movie. The sheriff said additional suspected live rounds were also found on the set of the movie at the Bonanza Creek Ranch outside of Santa Fe. Santa Fe District Attorney Mary Carmack Altweez.
We can't say that it was negligence by whom, how many people were involved. We can't say that with any certainty at this point.
Investigators don't know how the live round ended up in the revolver, which was handed to Mr. Baldwin by the film's assistant director. The shooting resulted in the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins and wounded Mr. Souza. The sheriff said all three people who handled the gun used in the fatal shooting are cooperating. At least 667,000 Virginians have submitted early ballots for the gubernatorial election taking place next Tuesday between Democrat Terry McAuliffe and Republican Todd Youngkin. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is a TV star again in political ads being run by both parties. More from Lachlan Marquet, reporter at Axios. Lachlan, what have you seen?
We counted up about 50 different political ads that have run just since August. And this is everything ranging from mayoral races to governor's races to Senate races to House of Representatives, et cetera, that have mentioned Trump by name. So it's about a little over $13 million that's been spent that we tallied up. So he's pretty ubiquitous on the airwaves when it comes to messaging. And again, that's from both parties. That's Democrats and Republicans. He's being mentioned a ton in their ads.
All the way down to the mayoral level?
Yeah, actually, we found in mayoral contests in Seattle and Buffalo, Trump occasionally came up in some of these ads, believe it or not.
Wow. All right. So this is a message or a strategy designed to accomplish what?
Well, it depends on the race. If you look at the Virginia governor race that's happening right now, for instance, Democrat Terry McAuliffe has, he must be reading polling that says, Trump is not particularly liked by a good share of voters in the state. And so he's tried his best for months now to tie his opponent, Republican Glenn Youngkin, to Trump. It's just incessantly running ads. He spent about $3.5 million on ads that explicitly try to tie Youngkin to Trump. And then you have examples like the Republican Senate primaries in Ohio or Arizona, where you have Republican candidates sort of duking it out in an effort to prove that, they are more sort of in line with Donald Trump, his legacy, his supporters, et cetera. Obviously, the former president remains by far the most popular figure among Republican voters, so that, that strategic value there is obvious. So it really just depends on the situation. We're seeing a bunch of different ways that he can be sort of employed, depending on what you're trying to do messaging-wise.
Boy, historically speaking, is this normal that 1 year later, a president who did not win a second term is still the subject of all political discussions?
Yeah, it's extremely rare. Obviously, people don't just immediately forget about ex-presidents. But, Donald Trump has made it pretty clear, and those around him have made it pretty clear, that he's not just shuffling off the political stage here. Pretty much everyone expects him to at least, tease a 2024 run, if not actually get in the race. And he's still a commanding force in the Republican Party. He has a ton of influence, probably more than any other single person, over the direction of one side of the political spectrum. So, just because he's out of office, it doesn't mean he's not relevant. And on the contrary, he's arguably the most relevant person among half of the electorate.
Wow. We're speaking with Lachlan Marquet, political reporter at Axios. He's got a story running entitled Trump Stars in Both Sides Ads, even as far back as the California recall election, correct?
Yeah, that was actually the most expensive ad campaign we saw that was devoted to invoking Trump's name. And that was Governor Gavin Newsom basically, running. He put about $4.5 million behind some ads that, said my opponents, the people trying to recall me, are, quote, Trump Republicans. So obviously California is a state that's, it's heavily Democratic. And when you're trying, as a lot of these candidates are, in an off-year election to really turn your core voters out, because these don't tend to be high turnout elections, you really want to invoke things that are going to fire up folks who are very attentive to the news and very politically involved. And, when you're trying to rile up Democrats, there are a few people who are better than that than Donald Trump.
Well, that's something. So is it reasonable to expect that in the coming weeks we'll see a lot more spending on political ads that involve Mr. Trump? And then what about next year's midterms?
Yeah, in the next week, certainly, we're in the final week before some key races, including the Virginia governor's race, the New Jersey governor's race. Certainly over the next few days, I expect we'll see more. But yeah, heading into next year, this is only going to increase. By November 2022, Trump is still going to be fresh on the minds of of a lot of voters. Certainly, if he has his way, he'll be fresh on the minds of a lot of voters.
All right, thanks, Lachlan. Lachlan Marquet, reporter at Axios. Coming up next, a nor'easter wallops New England.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the Windows PC and tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
Thanks for being with us. Hundreds of thousands of people in New England are still in the dark after a strong storm barreled up the East Coast with hurricane-force winds that downed trees and power lines. The first nor'easter of the fall also drenched the broader region with heavy rains since first hitting New York and New Jersey late Monday evening, flooding some expressways. The National Weather Service says wind gusts approached 90 miles an hour in parts of Massachusetts. Governor Charlie Baker.
National Grid and Eversource and the other utilities are already working to restore power where they can, but in some cases they do need to wait until the winds come down before it's really going to be safe to get up into a bucket truck.
Some 373,000 customers in Massachusetts and Rhode Island were without power as of this morning. Restoring full power could take days. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
As Democratic committee chairs take up the task of writing legislation to enact President Biden's signature social spending bill, internal divisions over Medicare expansion and paid family leave are among the last remaining hurdles to a final deal. Biden is expected to attend a House Democratic caucus meeting this morning, and his attendance is being read as assigned party leaders had finalized a deal. Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York says Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia has been a main holdout.
This is how you build common ground, and it starts by listening. And I've been listening to my colleague and what his concerns are.
The news of Biden's attendance at the meeting capped off a day of apparent progress, during which White House aides met with key Democrats and Senate Budget Committee Chairman Bernie Sanders met privately with Biden.
Number two.
Attorney General Merrick Garland defended a memo aimed at combating threats against school officials nationwide, while Republicans insisted he rescind the directive. The memo took center stage as Garland appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee and said it was meant to respond to violence and threats of violence directed against local school board officials. Republican Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa.
The School Board Association has since apologized for that letter, but not before the department relied on their letter to mobilize federal law enforcement in state and local matters.
Garland signaled he has no plans to rescind the memo despite GOP criticism. Under a new policy issued by the Department of Homeland Security, U.S. immigration authorities will be restricted from carrying out arrests and other enforcement actions at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, places of worship, and a range of other protected areas. Arrests in these areas will be allowed in certain circumstances, such as the existence of a national security threat. Good news on the COVID front. A cheap antidepressant reduced the need for hospitalization among high-risk adults with COVID in a study hunting for existing drugs that could be repurposed to treat coronavirus. Researchers tested the pill used for depression and obsessive compulsive disorder because it was known to reduce inflammation and looked promising in smaller studies. Researchers say the pill, which would cost only $4 for a course of treatment, would save a lot of lives.
All right, thank you, Jen. Coming up next, old guys buck a baseball trend.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Ledger with us. The World Series is tied at one after the Astros beat the Braves last night. Game three tomorrow in Atlanta. Meanwhile, this year's World Series is a clash between two skippers with the oldest combined age in history. Jared Diamond, baseball writer for the Wall Street Journal, says in an industry that mostly views field skippers as little more than glorified middle managers, the matchup between 72-year-old Dusty Baker of the Astros and 66-year-old Brian Snitker of the Braves serves as an important reminder of the power of experience. Jared, explain.
Nobody ever would have imagined that Dusty Baker would be managing the Astros of all teams. The Astros were the single most cutting-edge technology and analytics-based team in the major leagues. They were never going to hire sort of a old dinosaur like Dusty Baker, but we all know what happened to the Astros. They get caught up in the sign-stealing scandal that really rocked the organization, their manager gets fired, their general manager gets fired, everything's in crisis. So what do you do when you're in a crisis? You go out and you hire Dusty Baker because he's going to be able to bring a credible face to an organization that really needed one at that moment. And he's now been there for 2 years and now they're in the World Series. In the case of Atlanta with Brian Snitker, very similar situation in some ways. Brian Snitker is a real loyalist. He's been with the Braves in some capacity since the 70s. He was a minor league player. He was a minor league coach. He was a minor league manager. He was a major league coach, but never was really seen as a managerial candidate. But they had a situation a few years back where their manager gets fired in the middle of the season. They needed someone to take over on an interim basis. They say, all right, Brian, you're the guy. Our team is terrible. We're rebuilding. Who really cares? They bring him back the next year. Again, the team is terrible. They're rebuilding. Who really cares? But then a funny thing happens in 2018. The Braves general manager at the time, John Coppolella, gets kicked out of baseball for life. similar situation to the Astros because of a scandal involving Latin American players and illegal dealings with amateurs. And they bring in a new general manager who says, all right, let's just give this a year, see what happens. Brian Snicker gets to stay. And guess what happens in 2018? The Braves win the division. Brian Snicker wins manager of the year. And suddenly he's ensconced. And now here we are in 2021. These two managers that no one ever imagined would be working in baseball at all are meeting in the World Series.
Jeez. Do these guys embrace today's analytics?
You know, their reputation, of course, is that they don't, at least compared to many other managers that you would see today. The trend for managers in the last, really going back 5, 6, 7 years, has been to hire first-time managers, young guys, guys that are experienced in analytics, and perhaps more important, guys that are willing to, let's call it, work collaboratively with the front office. Sort of the idea of the general in the dugout running the show.
Yeah.
That's long gone. Managers have far less power today than they did before, and far less power than they did when Dusty Baker was sort of rising as a manager.
Jared Diamond, national baseball writer at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. In the last year plus, you may have seen yourself more in video meetings than in the mirror. That beard that looked okay on a webcam, well, it got out of hand, didn't it? So as long as you're resetting your look, reset the way you shave with something better. Harry's. If you don't know about Harry's, it's time to find out. Harry's was founded to be different from the big companies. They wanted to prove you didn't need to decide between a great shave and a fair price, so they give you both. I'm amazed every time at how close my shave is. My blades stay amazingly sharp for days. High quality for a low price. Exactly what they set out to do when they founded Harry's. And I think you'll feel the same way. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Visit harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. harrys.com/deal to get this special offer for the starter set. Harrys. harrys.com/deal.
Cutting through the clutter to bring you the people and stories that matter to you. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, October 28. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Democrats drop plans for a paid leave program in their spending bill. More than 300,000 without power in New England after a powerful storm. A high school teacher in New Jersey has been suspended for telling an Arab American student, quote, "We don't negotiate with terrorists," when the kid asked for a homework extension. An American Airlines flight diverted to Denver after a passenger assaulted a flight attendant. Packers and Cardinals in Thursday Night Football, and how vaccine lottery winners are spending their money. That story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. Businesses around the U.S. worry that the busiest shopping period of the year could come to a screeching halt if the Biden administration releases its long-awaited vaccine mandate and testing rules. With the mandate set to affect as many as 80 million Americans, business groups like the Retail Industry Leaders Association want the Biden administration to delay its rule until after the holiday season. More from Megan Lenhart, writer at Fortune.com. Megan, what's being said?
So this is kind of interesting. We have a bunch of employers, private employers, who are actually going to be affected by this expected rule that's coming out through OSHA. So last month, President Biden sat there and directed the agency to start putting together this rule that would affect employers with at least 100 employees. They would need to make sure that either their employees were vaccinated or that they were undergoing weekly testing for COVID. Now, the rule hasn't been public yet, so we're still speculating on what exactly is going to be in the details here. But a lot of industries are already very concerned that this is going to disrupt operations, and it could actually potentially have issues around hiring and retention of employees. So we're going into this holiday season. We already have a lot of issues that companies are having to juggle, including supply chain issues, labor shortages, you name it, it's on the agenda. And so with all of these challenges already in the mix, we're now potentially adding this federal vaccine mandate to the plate. And most businesses are saying, actually, hold up a second. Can we sit there and have this rule go into effect after the holidays? We have a lot of temporary employees right now. We've got a lot going on. This would potentially really disrupt business during what can be, for many industries, the busiest time of the year.
Wow, right. I guess that this does not seem unreasonable, or does it?
It can be. Of course, the devil's in the details on these types of rules. And we've been having meetings, or I say we, the industries and labor unions, business groups, you name it, have been having meetings with the White House and officials over the past couple weeks to actually sift through what they think are some of the biggest challenges of a rule like this. And so we're certainly seeing that this rule is continuing to undergo discussions, and hopefully we'll start to see it out in the public in the next couple weeks. But again, until we do, there's a lot of questions at issue here. Who's actually paying for this testing and these vaccine verifications? Is it going to be employees? Is it going to be businesses? And of course, how exactly are you going to be able to verify all of this? We do see, you know, a lot of these like bogus vaccine cards sitting around these days, and we've all heard the stories. How are you going to be able to tell? What exactly is it going to need to be functioning like? So again, a lot of details here that still need to be worked out, still need to be publicly addressed.
We're speaking with Megan Lenhart, writer at Fortune. Her piece is called Business Groups Want Biden to Delay Vaccine Mandates Until After the Holidays. I guess one of the big rules to be defined, too, is what's vaccinated? One shot,
right.
Both 2 weeks after your final shot, right?
Yes. So we actually have this going into effect, this issue going into effect with a couple of these vaccine mandates that Biden put together. So the private employer vaccine mandate that's being promulgated by OSHA is one of three that Biden actually directed. So the other two actually apply to federal employees and federal contract employees. And so those rules also mandate fully vaccinated, and they actually have deadlines on the books already. So those are coming up very quick. And for those who do need to get a Moderna or a Pfizer vaccine, that actually is coming up very quickly. In order to be able to get the vaccine and have the sort of recommended waiting period in between the doses, and then have the 2 weeks after the vaccine actually is fully in your system, we're talking like this week and next week, employees actually need to be getting these vaccines. Of course, if you're getting the J&J vaccine, that's one jab. It's definitely within the time window. But that's something that should be in consideration here. We can't simply roll out these mandates and expect immediate compliance, because we do have a couple of weeks that need to be put into place for actual implementation period.
Thanks, Megan. Megan Lenhart, writer at Fortune.com. Coming up next, the number of states hoping the Astros win the World Series. Oh, this is bad.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's officially crunch time when it comes to Halloween costumes. And if you're looking to go with the crowd or figure out which costume not to buy, here's some 2021 costume data from Google listing the most popular costumes around the country. Number one, the tried and true witch costume, followed by rabbit, dinosaur, Spider-Man, and Cruella de Vil from 101 Dalmatians. As for some of this year's more trendy costumes, Squid Game surged in popularity and comes in at number 23, while costumes from the Among Us video game are at number 16. Some local choices of note: pirates are popular in Kansas City, The Purge is popular in several cities, including Wilmington, North Carolina, and the top costume in Monroe, Louisiana, Augusta, Georgia and number 18 in the country is an entire decade, the 1980s.
Mm.
Just as just the decade.
Yeah.
I guess there's a lot of different ways you could do that, right? So it's flexible.
Yeah.
You know, big hair, neon clothes.
Right.
Carry a boombox. There are a million different ways you could dress like the 80s.
Shoulder pads for women.
Sure, yeah.
Right.
That's a good one.
Cavaricis, right?
Yes.
All that stuff.
That's the thing about the 80s. There's different eras to the 80s, too. Like,
it's
you have
true.
Sort of early 80s, yeah. mid-80s, you know, and late 80s. There's all different styles. The styles went very quickly during the 80s, it
true.
Seems like. Every couple of years, we all looked completely different.
I participated in all of them.
Yes.
Yeah, because I was totally 80s guy. Yeah, you know, from like, elementary school, high school, college.
Right.
Totally an 80s guy.
Well, this could be for you. I mean, if you're still looking for something for this weekend.
I'm going to pull out some of the clothes I wore last week, as a matter of fact.
Exactly. You still got some of those laying around,
legit.
I'm sure. And speaking of trending fall topics, the World Series is now knotted at one game apiece. Good news for the Astros in the city of Houston. Bad news for nearly everyone else in the country. That's because, according to some data compiled from social media, only 3 of the 50 states are rooting for the Astros to beat the Atlanta Braves and win the series. The information was compiled from over 230,000 geotagged tweets by the Bet Online gambling website. The states pulling for the Astros are predictably Texas, along with neighbor Louisiana. No surprise there. The third state's a little unusual, Delaware, with the residents of the first state apparently not fazed by Houston's sign-stealing controversies.
Wow.
Delaware.
Really? Delaware.
Just out of nowhere.
Yeah. Nowhere really close to Texas.
Yeah.
Or Houston.
Maybe some Texas transplants in Delaware that we're unaware of.
Highly unlikely. Highly unlikely.
Seems a little strange, yes.
Right. How about that? So that would seem to believe, I mean, just using basic math of states overall, 94% of the country supports the Braves.
Sure.
Or is not necessarily supporting the Astros.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think you'd be right there. Although, you know, population-wise, maybe it might be a little different. A lot of people in Texas, we know this, right?
Yes.
Right. A lot of people in Louisiana, too. So, you know, maybe not percentage-wise, population-wise. But yes, as far as the geography of the states, yes, you are correct.
Is it wrong?
Yeah.
For me, generally speaking, as a Mets supporter,
yes,
to be rooting for the Braves.
Yes.
Really?
Well, no, here's what I do. I watch something else. I watch Succession on TV instead of watching the World Series. That's what I do. I don't want to root for either one of these teams, to be honest with you. And I certainly am not going to root for Atlanta anytime this century.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's strong.
Again, that's as a Mets fan, just speaking as a Mets fan. There.
And that's, you know, you're putting aside Houston sign-stealing controversy altogether. You're setting that
aside. I'm not rooting for the Astros. I'm just not choosing to not go with the flow and root for the Braves. You guys have some fun with your little World Series there. I'm going to be watching TV.
On the sidelines. No matter what kind of wireless plan you have from any of the big wireless providers, they've all got one thing in common. The catch. The part where too good to be true has too many extra charges to be worth it. But Mint Mobile figured it out. They offer premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. What's the catch? There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is they only sell wireless service online. No retail overhead saves them and you a lot of money. You can also keep your number and your phone, no losing your existing contacts, and get unlimited talk, text, and high-speed data on the nation's largest 5G network, again, for as low as $15 a month. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/Gordon. That's mintmobile.com/Gordon. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Dell Technologies advisors have the Windows PC and tech solutions you need to help your business stay ahead of the game. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro. A new study in the journal JAMA Network Open finds that memory loss and brain fog may be long-term side effects of COVID-19. Mount Sinai Health System experts analyzed data from 740 participants. The average age of the patients who had no history of dementia was 49. The mean time from COVID-19 diagnosis was nearly 8 months. 8 minutes now in front of the hour.
on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Top Democrats are signaling a deal is within reach on President Biden's domestic bill, but momentum fizzled and tempers flared as a paid family leave proposal fell out. And a billionaire's tax appeared scrapped, mostly to satisfy a pivotal member of the 50-50 Senate. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York says that member is Joe Manchin of West Virginia.
He wants to shore up Social Security. I think that is a legitimate concern. I'm going to talk about why something like paid leave does exactly that. And I'm going to listen to other concerns he has. And that's why the proposal I'm making now is tailored to his biggest concerns.
Biden will head to Capitol Hill this morning to urge Democratic lawmakers to bring talks on the social services and climate change bill over the finish line before he departs for global summits overseas.
Number two.
A new warrant reveals the assistant director who handed Alec Baldwin the prop firearm that killed a cinema photographer told authorities he did not check all the rounds inside the revolver before declaring it a cold gun on the New Mexico set of the film Rust. Assistant Director David Halls admitted to investigators he should have inspected all the rounds. Santa Fe District Attorney General Mary Carmack Altweis.
If the facts and evidence and law support charges, then I will initiate prosecution at that time.
Number three.
A New York judge has refused to pause a COVID vaccine mandate set to begin Friday for the city's municipal workforce, denying a police union's request for a temporary restraining order. Andrew Ansborough is with the FDNY Firefighters Association.
20 months we've been through it, three waves we've been through it, and now we're given a 9-day deadline to make a decision on whether or not we're going to accept a vaccine. We are not anti-vaccine. We are anti-mandate.
Police officers, firefighters, and most other city workers must show proof they've gotten at least one dose of the vaccine by 5 p.m. Friday. Previously, city workers were able to show proof of a negative test. The National Park Service has partnered with a tourism association to ensure the contributions, cultures, and traditions of Native Americans are incorporated into exhibits and programming at sites across the country. A similar project is in the works at Lewis and Clark National Historic Trail that runs 4,900 miles through 16 states from Pennsylvania to Oregon.
I didn't realize it was that long. I was in a cave in Montana that was part of this trail.
Yeah.
I've never experienced darkness so dark. So dark.
We don't see dark in New Jersey.
No.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you. And to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the Windows PCs and tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
Thanks for being with us. Not everybody is spending vaccine lottery money on material things for themselves. Pete Vegas of Colorado was a $1 million winner of the state's COVID-19 vaccine lottery designed to incentivize people to get the shot. The 65-year-old is planning to use the money to fight climate change, putting money in regenerative agriculture. USA Today says Christine Duvall won $2 million in the Michigan COVID sweepstakes. She said one of the first things she did was make an anonymous donation to a mental health charity. Mark Klein won $1 million in Ohio's Vax-a-Million lottery. He used to work as a paramedic and volunteer firefighter, and one of two new funds he's created support emergency responders in Jefferson County, Ohio. The other supports a variety of causes in Union County, Ohio, including support for emergency responders, church groups, and charities. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.